That's me messing with my mic. Hello, I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen's Grown Up Story Hour. What did I rename my podcast? I renamed it something because I wanted to maybe kind of update it. Oh, Stories for Adults. And now I'm used to saying Grown Up Story Time. So we are going to become Isawellen Wright's Story for Adults. That's only going to take me 6 months to figure out how to say correctly. So tonight, Okay, I'm going to reintroduce the show as it's going to be introduced from now on. Hello, I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Stories for Adults. How's that? Does that work? I don't know. So I have been chatting with my friend from Twitter, my new friend, Brandon, and he writes historical romance. Are they romance novels? I haven't read the first one, and I'm going to have to because I've read clips and they're very good. I read his kind of blurb on Amazon, 2 weeks ago? And I was impressed because blurbs are hard for indie authors. They are not tackling that blurb and getting the balance just right. Not too long, not too short, telling about the story, giving an idea what the story is about, not going overboard, using the right keywords is a challenge. And I thought his was really good. So I have invited him to talk and come and chat. He is a man. He has his book. He is a man. No, he's a monkey. He's a panda bear. In his book, he has dual point of views. He writes from the men's, the guy's point of view and from the woman's point of view. And I haven't hit any trigger words yet that would be like, what? No, that's not working for me. So we're doing so good so far. It is almost 11 p.m. Pacific time, and this is a late night pop-up. I almost did it last night, you know, kind of seat in my pants. I'm a pantser. So is that you, Brandon Phantostorm, in the chat? Because if it is, you can call in and then we can talk. I'm going to share this out too onto the Twitter again. There he is calling in. Hello, can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. Okay. You are in the hot seat tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm the panda bear.
Yeah, the panda bear, or the owl, or the bee, or the...
I have many different animals that I take after.
Many different animals. Let me share this out. So get the link up. I've already got the... Oh, it says it's copied onto the Twitter. Sometimes people come into... No, it's not. Sometimes people come into the chat late. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it depends on who I have. It really has nothing to do with me. So we'll just see if anybody comes in and joins us tonight.
Well, I have the chat open on my phone, so I should be able to read or answer any questions if they have any.
Yeah, that's always fun to interact with the chat. I always read and then forget to tell the audience, oh, wait, that was in the chat. I cannot talk and I don't know how. I know people who do this. I can't do it. Late night live with...
Oh, Brandon Farrow. I'm impressed that you actually got the last name right. A lot of people think it's Firo. It's usually people think...
Firo. Farrow. Yeah, no, it didn't
They tried to call me Zero and then I kind of looked at them and I said, it's Farrow. And I just went, oh. And I was like, yeah. That was back in basic training, and they just looked at me.
That's not working for you.
Yeah, I made the drill sergeant's life hell. Eventually, it just became F and Pharaoh at one point.
You can cuss. It's okay. It is not safe for work. Everybody knows I don't generally because I sound like a preschool teacher, but your name is not generating and I would have to go and find it. So I'm just going to be like,
I can share it on my own wall.
Yeah. Repost.
That is perfectly fine. I'm on my computer as well. We're using technology in such a way.
We are technology-ing. We are two grown adults who are technology-ing. It's teching. Is that the word? Teching? It would be so fun if our friend Becca would come in. She had been drinking. She's pretty fun when she's drinking.
Oh, when she's drinking, I can.
It's always fun. Podcasting when drinking is a fun thing. I need to get closer. This table set up, the mic is kind of weird. Okay, so Brandon, you are an author. Are you? I need you to speak into your mic because I can't hear you, and I'm loud and obnoxious, and so you don't want me to talk over the top of you. You have one book on that thing that, you know, we've all put our books on called, oh yeah, Amazon. Maybe I've been drinking. Oh, it's going to be one of those shows. I'm sorry. I apologize ahead of time.
You're fine.
Yeah, fine, huh? Okay. You have one book on Amazon and you have books. Are they in progress or what do you, I know you have something on Wattpad. I've looked, but I'm a terrible person. I followed you. I'm like, I'm going to have to read those. I might've put one in my library. And then I, you know, went on to do my own writing, my own thing because I'm just that selfish. So what do you have on Wattpad?
Right now, Wattpad was basically the start of it all. It was kind of like my way to break into finishing up a story. I just went ahead to do you want the short story or do you want the long story?
I want the long story, but I want you to either move the mic or turn up your voice. Just like, you know, that Adam Apple thing, just twist that to the right and then you'll go off like rockets. No, never mind. I'm sorry. That just seemed appropriate. That has to do with a don't worry, audience. That's nothing. I need you to be a little louder.
Yes, ma'am.
So give me the long story now that I've
the long story.
Got you off track.
The long story is as, this all started probably about 7 years ago. I started on a science fiction novel, or rather universe, called Whisper, not the app. Throughout the amount of time, it went from being a role-playing game, and then I ran into several people who were very generous. Glenn McClune, Tom Anders, Heriberto, Valle Martinez. They gave me the assistance I needed. I was able to start some Kickstarters. My miniatures were sold thanks to all my backers, of which I'm on Facebook with my Whisper Facebook group, same title. And then a couple of years ago, I was flagging on writing the board game rules, and I had a breakup with a long distance relationship that I had. We are friends, but it ended to a point where I just kind of went to a bad place. I got into an accident, drunk. And after the accident, I took responsibility, as was necessary, but everyone kind of looked at me and said, Brandon, this isn't you. And I was just kind of looking around and I realized how many people were making it in life, and came across an article online saying, you know, it's not that she's high maintenance, it's that you're low effort. And I just kind of, you can argue the wording, you can argue with everything, but it just set something off in me, and I just went, you know, I may not be great at much, but I think I can write. So that started the first book, which is Whisper Flash Woman. And in the process, I started to flag again. You know how it goes with writer's block. You just suddenly your brain is freezing up. You can't finish the scenes that you want.
Do you get writer? I get writer's procrastination.
So, I get both. I get procrastination and I get block. Like just total. Just I'm staring at the screen and then suddenly I'm just kind of opening up 50 tabs on the computer and I'm just listening to all kinds of music and I'm just like I can't get the scene out of my head and it won't go any further. So I started reading a very old hobby of mine. Was to read romance novels, and I have been a fan of Gina Showalter and Cressley Cole for years and years.
Are you kidding me? Gina Showalter and Cressley Cole. Okay, so wait, no, we got to stop there. What Gina Showalter? What is your favorite? She has a couple different series out. Which would be your favorite?
My favorite series is Lords of the Underworld.
Of course. What did you think of her first kind of books?
Honestly, I never really got into her first books because the first one that I read was Lucien and Anya.
Well, never mind. So yeah, well, that was her first, you know, Lords of the Underworld book, and that was a real good. So you read Lucien and Anya, and that is, Lucien was the, is that the, was he, say again?
He's the keeper of the demon of death.
Yeah. Okay. There. I haven't read any for a while. I had read all of them. I don't even know where we are. I'm waiting for the world to end. now that they're coming out in hardback, they come out slower even. So I'm
on ebooks.
Yeah, I usually do. That is cool. She helped change her and the Black Decker Brotherhood kind of changed the, this kind of team, a bunch of men in one house and a bunch of women in one house. That was not a thing before those books came out. And then you get them all that now there are more, there are a lot. And whatever their reason, they're all in one house or whatever the reason they're all connected together, or, you know, there's always some different reason, but her books kind of brought, that was a new, concept that had never really, that I'd never read it outside of those books. And so, she had a big impact, and then the paranormal and her ability to take the mythical creatures as well as real mythical creatures and then, you know, fantasy creatures like werewolves and all that and then blend them together, that had a massive impact on the paranormal.
Do you want to caveat this? Because I can actually point you to the original that introduced me to Gina.
What was the original?
The original was actually the Vampire Huntress series by a beautiful, beautiful Black woman named L.A. Banks.
I've read those as well. And so how did you get from there, from L.A. Banks to Gina?
Honestly, I think it was, I was looking into contemporary paranormal romance because once I finished, I mean, sadly, the 13th was L.A. Banks' last, her last book in 2012 before she passed of cancer, God rest her soul. And then shortly thereafter, I was kind of puttering about, and as I was puttering about, I came across Gina and I came across Cressley. Led me to Gina because Cressley, originally I read The Warlord Wants Forever, mm-hmm. which was her original for The Immortals After Dark, and the second that I read that one, I just went, oh my god, I love her writing style. And then I was reading through several more, and I realized she was doing a crossover, and she made it in the acknowledgments, in the dedications, she was talking about Gina. So of course, naturally, my interest perked up. I'm like, wait, she's got a bestie of some sorts? What's this? And I went into the Lords of the Underworld, and I went, oh, okay, this is even better. And I was just like, okay, I'll read the whole. I am a voracious reader. When I read, if if it's a series, I'm going to read all the way through. Although I'm gonna go, I Google the series. I say, where does this start?
You might be surprised, but most women writer, romance readers are exactly that same way. You don't just read one book in a series. You read them all until, you know, whatever happens, life happens. And now I'm writing, I'm not reading as much. But yeah, you read them all, and then you read all the ones that are remotely like that. And then you find more, and it just, your appetite is just one thing after the other. Oh, see, that was loud. You need to be loud like that. If Quincy, you need to see, that was perfect. Is that, sorry, it's Quincy in the room?
I know you can see. I think, yeah, that's Quincy Speaks. I'm so sorry, Quincy. We didn't see you.
Hey, Quincy, why aren't you asleep? It's Monday. It's late for you. It's nice to have you here. We're talking romance books. I know. Maybe I'll put you to sleep. So that is so cool that you kind of went on this journey of reading romance books. And I know you've read others, some of the older ones. Now that you're doing historicals, tell me some of your the historical book writers that you've read.
Oh, dear sweet Lord in heaven, do you really want me to go through the list?
Yeah, I need to tick the boxes off. Come on.
Okay, let's see. Oh, God. Lisa Kleypas?
Mm-hmm. She's one of my favorites. Her sex scenes have always been really hot. Anyways, go on.
yeah, I can't.
I like her heroes.
It's a given. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to give up and just be like, she's the queen. You don't
And then, you know, for what she writes, the scenarios, the unique scenarios for every book is always really cool,
and
too.
Her sense of humor with her characters is just unbelievable.
She's really good.
I mean, Hathaway series and everything. The ferret in the Hathaway series is one of my favorite little animals. It's like, Dodger, get back here or I'm going to make a scarf out of you.
Okay, that's so perfect. Yes. So, and who else? Go ahead, your next one. More authors.
Avalay, Evie Dunmore. I'm gonna pants out here. Avalay. There's so many. Honestly, and that's a problem, is that there's so many of the good ones that I literally will end up forgetting their names. I mean, Evie Dunmore.
Oh, well, yeah.
She's a newer one, but she's actually later. She's not Regency. She's actually from the She's from the women's suffragist movement.
I haven't read anything. Did you know a lot of publishers don't consider anything above, you know, 1902 as historicals, which is hilarious to me, but it's true. Part of that, I think, is the underwear. What?
You know what? I could almost believe it. Bodice Rippers. Is it Bodice or Bodice?
I always say Bodice, but Bodice. It could Bodice. Be Bodice. I don't know. I always say Bodice, but I think it's the underwear because once you start not having the underwear just isn't as sexy, and you don't have horses, you have cars, and you don't have, I don't know, maybe that's why, I don't know. That's what I think. But there are no swords, you know, you've got, and there's, it's not like there aren't good romances out there that are that era. It just is a whole, as a historical thing, once you start adding stuff like that, it just feels more, you add cars modern, and it's suddenly contemporary.
No longer, you're just kind of moving away from what you always were expecting.
For historical.
For historical. It's the Regency era, the Victorian era. That's where it's at. Another one that I'd say I've read quite a bit of, oh God, I forget her name. Let me look in my Amazon now because I've got this all.
No, you don't have to. I think I am fascinated that you read romance novels, and I can see that in your the clips that you sent me. I can see that in your writing. writers who read are just better writers. That's my opinion. They pick up a lot from the words that they read. They pick up their rhythm, the tone, some of that conversational, the ability to do dialogue, and just a little bit more understanding. I would not be able to write men. Even though I think I'm writing the kind of men that women want to read, they're not necessarily realistic men. I wouldn't be able to write them if I had not read, you know, romance books for 20 years. That's where I'm drawing my material out of. That's what I'm not drawing. It's not from real life. I can count on one hand.
And that we observe and we read, and that's the thing. Our observational skills in real life are tied to our subjective our subjective, you know, notes. So we don't see the same pattern in our real life. We miss out on cues, or we miss out on tells that, you know, in a book we can read it and instantly tell, you know, oh, hey, you know, that's kind of a hint right there, buddy. But in real life, we're looking at them and we're going, it's a 747 over our head, just going, huh, what?
Oh, the difference between men and women in real life. Yeah, the heroes always get it. They always know when a woman's interested in them. They're never, you know, oblivious. They always know. It's always this connection. It's this back and forth. Even if the woman's like, no, I don't like you, you scurvy dog. You know, he's like, oh, yes, you do. I can see that twinkle in your eye. I know you like me. It doesn't matter. I like you anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, but there is a lie. And the thing is that many of the historical romances play off the fact that back then it was the guy who was in a position of power who had all the money, all the time, and basically he's not a fat cat. He's not somebody who just piddles around behind his desk. He's usually a man who's in somewhat decent shape. He doesn't have to be, you know, six-pack ripped, even though many times many women...
Even if they're poor, they're in decent shape. Oh, I know, if you've read Cleopas, Lisa, you know, or Kinsale, or, oh my goodness, who else? Woodywiss or Lindsay, or I don't think I've ever met, you know, and then men get some people get, you know, a little confront. Is this what women want? Well, in fantasy, maybe some men like a pudgy old woman, you know, in their porn, but women fantasy, in reality, you know, in reality, the contrast the measures are different, but yes, exactly. One thing, so you've read all these historicals. Have you have you read Jane Eyre?
I think
like a literal historical.
I think I've read two of Jane's, but I have not. I wouldn't be
not read Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. There is in the bodice rippers of the 80s and the 2000s and the 90s to 2020, the dark romance, there is an element of the same kind of character now in the dark romance. Have you read any of the more modern, like mafia or motorcycle or club, or there's all kinds of different, you know, things that will have dark romance or high bully romances or anything
well,
like
that? LA Banks was one, but if I had to say, I would say I've also read some contemporary romances by Helen Wan, who is she's a really, really good romance author herself. She just started Helen, and it's Hoang, but I say Juan or Juan. If I screw that up, I hope Miss Helen will forgive me. She's actually she's on the Asperger's syndrome, and so she does have a mild form of high functioning autism.
Mm-hmm.
So she writes this stuff, and I read it, and it gives a huge insight into Vietnamese Americans, and also their heritage, and also Asperger's syndrome. And there are scenes in Helen's books that just literally tore my heart out, because the main characters suddenly become just so open all of a sudden. They have to bust out and admit, you know, this is what's, you know, different about me. And it just tears your heart out. And at the same time, you're like, oh my God, and they're so They want to be loved, but they feel that they're so different that they can't have it. And it's just heart-wrenching. Another one that I read is Alexa Martin, who is, she is actually a former, her husband was in the NFL, and hers is primarily black men, black women. But they are, they work for out of Denver, which apparently she knows that city very well. And again, just phenomenal contemporary romances. So I read,
I mean, you're all across the board. You're just, you're not, I avoid, I'm not a big fan of contemporary romances. And if I read them, they're blown out of proportion. You know, they're not realistic. I've seen motorcycle gangs, and they never look like they do on TV. I've never seen any, never, ever. You know, they don't have insurance. They have no teeth. It's terrible. So there's no correlation. They're not usually hot guys with muscles and who blow things up and steal guns.
No, I had a motorcycle gang in the gas station about, I'd say about a week and a half ago, and I was at my truck stop on my guard shift, and they were a bunch of, you know, 20 something guys, and you know, all average. They not really that many pot bellies or anything, but they were all just kind of, you know,
they were younger though. I don't know if I've ever seen a young group.
I'm near Gary then, so
Chicago,
so it's kind of. But out there, you know, on the high roads where you are, probably, yeah, most of the boys are, you know, they're the older grizzled types. They're getting on their Harleys. They're not, you know, using speedsters or yeah. So of course they're just cruising. So
exactly, boys, I'm not.
And those old boys, I get along with them fine. But let's face it, you know, most of them they've already reached that point where they're just kind of like, hey, I'm good. I got my lady. I got my lady.
yeah, there's no fantasy there. And that, you know, I'm fine. You know, yeah, I'm fine. I read it. If I read it, it's all the fantasy and it's the interaction with the people. And I avoid the contemporary, anything realistic. I'm all about the fluff. I say it all the time. I live realistic. I read fluff. Shameless. I'm a shameless fluff reader. So you've read all these books, you have all this, and you challenged yourself. You're like, I can write. I've read your writing. You can write. I was really impressed with the way you break down your paragraphs. There are a lot of new indie authors that don't do that, I've tried to, you know, it's a big deal if you are an indie author and you're putting a book on and you know it's going to be an ebook. Visually, even though in your school they told you one paragraph, one subject, to break your paragraphs down as much as you can because it's easier on the eyes and it's easier for readers to consume. And the consumer reader who reads those ebooks does not, they can be tricked into epic, you know, a big, thick, wonderful book. But if it looks like it visually, if it's big blocks of text, they will open the first paragraph, look at it, and never finish it. And
that is actually that's one of the tricks that I noticed with Lisa and with quite a few of the other professional romance authors. They'll leave the big blocks of text for certain specific scenes when they want to portray, you know, what the man is doing with the woman, what the woman is doing with the man. They'll portray it temporarily, maybe when they're describing background history of the character. But in the very first few scenes, they're always trying to keep it rapid-paced, light, and fresh to draw the person in first and let them go. So that was one of the things that I try to emulate with my stories. And in point of fact, my first Facebook post that actually started Whisper Flashpoint was a single line. Staring down the barrel of a gun is easy after you've done it a couple times, but it still leaves your butt puckering.
That's a great line.
Thank you. So I did that, and that was actually, I just posted that out. And when I did, it turned out, you know, all these veterans that I posted to a veterans group, a support group, and all these veterans came out and said, why the hell aren't you writing a book? I guess I got an audience after all. And I was writing it as a science fiction.
That's cool. That's really neat.
Hey, Quincy, I'm sorry, my man. Yeah, you got to go to bed. I understand.
But unfortunately, I have to.
if you want to find my writing, you can just look up A Glorious Enemy by Brandon Farrow.
I think you'd probably like it.
Thank you, brother.
Good stuff. It's good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that's neat that you got. I need to look. We connected on Facebook, but I never looked at your profile because I knew who you were. So what does your profile look like on Brandon Keith? Now you said I said it right, so now I don't know how to say it anymore. Ferraro. How do I say it the first time?
Ferro.
See, I said it right, but you messed me up. I'm all messed up now because you told me how to say it. Now I don't remember. It's all your fault.
Talk to you later, Quincy. Yeah, add Brandon Farrow. It says, she'll read it for you. It's, I think I basically started with aspiring, a good if rough around the edges egg. That was actually one of my friends actually called me that.
Is that you're a good but...
No, a good but rough around the edges egg, yeah. I'm rough around the edges. Talk to you later, Quincy. Hopefully we'll see you in the Discord, all right?
Facebook has changed its whole thing, and I don't like new Facebook.
Facebook, I have two names. I have Brandon Keith Farrow, which is my personal profile, and then I have Brandon Farrow /author, and that is actually its original. It's at
Do they Whisper connect? Mecca.
They do. They're both my pages, but my author page is my public face. My personal private notes is for my friends, family, you know, my immediate circle who's been supporting me. And Quincy is gone from us now.
And Quincy is gone. Good night, Quincy. Mm-hmm. Did you hear Quincy's strong? Wasn't that awesome?
I did. And so I frankly was, poets and short story people who can contain a story down into just that sort of, you know, striking words and evocative, colorful language and just bring out the emotion of those words. It blows my mind every time. I have a poet in me, I suppose, but he's pretty long asleep at this point. So he just kind of stays in the background and just goes, wow, that's a man or that's a woman right there. And I'm just like,
stick with me. We'll bring your, I don't know, something about it. People end up writing poetry all the time. It's so cool. So you just start to listen and look at it. And then suddenly when I asked Quincy about that, he's written some. He had written some before and he's a really talented writer, but he doesn't do it very often. And so I'm so glad he joined with me and he went with his gut and did his thing. And I think it came out a powerful piece that gave true real life perspectives that, unlike my book writing, my poetry writing is a lot more raw and real than anything I would ever put or read in a book. So that was so cool. Anyway, so that's off of you. So you are this. We were talking about Facebook. I don't keep notes, and I just let the conversation flow, and then I forget where I'm at. And I do want to get to the point where I was telling you are a good writer, and we were talking about that blocks of writing, and you had noticed that, and that's really cool that you paid attention, and then you noticed that and you implemented it, because I think that will that's just a positive thing. There's no reason not to do it. Some authors that I've talked to are just very resistant. No, this is how I want to. Okay.
Yeah. And this actually happened to me on Twitter. Some Twitter, fellow aspiring author shared out this blurb of, you know, how she was writing it. And I made a suggestion.
And they get offended, you know. I try.
She got so offended, and then her friends came to her rescue, and they start cussing me out. Yeah. They're like, "It's not your job to tell them to tell." And I was like, "She asked me for feedback. I'm giving her feedback." And they're like, "You're just supposed to cheer
even
on."
Ask
just
for went, feedback. That's even worse.
And I'm like, and as soon as I'm like, she's like, "Hey, look at this. Check this out." And I just went, check this out. I check it out. I'm like, okay, good. I like this. Hey, can you also, you know, but hey, by the way, and she just, and I'm just kind of sitting back going, wait, huh? Now, it's amazing to me because I've actually found with the erotica authors, this is not the case. A lot of them are very open about their sexuality, about their gender. They're also very heartfelt, and they don't take it the same way. They don't take critiques or criticisms as, you know, something that's supposed to stab you through the heart. Instead, it's more of a, oh, okay, cool. And then you look at them and go, I admire them because they are so open, so honest. And I know some of them, I know just about every one of them goes by their pen name, which of course I don't because I'm me. I'm a veteran. I'm gonna stick by my name. They're so willing to engage with their audience, with the people that come to them. And yes, they get these jerk offs that come in and try and, you know, say, and I'm kind of looking at them going, please shut up. You are an embarrassment to my gender and to my sex and to my modern times. Please shut up. Just go away. All right,
I've talked about that a minute before. Did you try and integrate into the romance community on Twitter, Romancelandia, and make friends? And
I actually got blocked by Courtney Milan.
You did? How?
I did.
What did you do?
It was a mistake. It was a mistake. It was an honest mistake.
Blocked by Courtney Milan.
To give you some feedback.
That's hilarious.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
If you're listening, Courtney Milan has been, she's a powerful voice in the romance industry in so many ways. So if you heard about some of the conflict that happened with the big romance writers of America, she was a part of that. She was a part of bringing some awareness to some of the hypocrisy there. She is, because she has a past, I don't know, she has a past like as a lawyer. A lot of times there will be legal issues in Romancelandia that people will go to and they'll ask her opinion and what she thinks and what she would do. And so she has a powerful voice just outside of her books. She's probably a fantastic writer. I've tried to read a couple of times and I just get, it's one of those things that doesn't always click and she doesn't click with me. But she is a huge, huge voice in the romance industry now. And
she is. And that was my mistake because somebody else.
Hilarious that you got blocked.
It's not really an honor because I'm a straight white guy. This is not good for me. This is not good for my look. And the thing was that there's some other woman popped off at the mouth at her, and the other woman is a fellow is apparently she's on the bar and she's in New York City. And she tried to quip it at Courtney, you know, to stick to romance. And I mean, I get it. Courtney is a Supreme Court clerk. You know, she was a clerk in the Supreme Court. I get that. And I turned around at the Romancelandia girls and I just went, wait, has this other lawyer ever read any of Courtney's work or any of the historical romance? She probably hasn't. Why don't we invite her to read some of it? And then have her, and they were like, well, you're taking her side over court. I'm like, I didn't realize we were supposed to take sides here.
I'm sorry. You're in a bunch of women and you don't know you have to take sides. Oh, Lord. Okay.
I'm a guy. Yeah. I'm a guy. I don't take sides.
Not,
okay.
Not all women do it, but it happens quite a lot.
The clicks are big time in women's media. I've noticed this.
Yeah. So
almost forced me to leave Twitter again. I was just like, I'm tired of this. This is bull crap. And I just suddenly stopped and I went, you know what? Okay, so Courtney's off the table unless she, for some reason, decides to unblock me, which I would be grateful. I would absolutely be willing to talk to her. I apologize for stepping in the mud. I was just trying to be honest and I was trying to invite some other people to read romance because I'm a romance lover. Yes.
So I've talked a little bit about it because when I first got on Twitter, I kind of tried to fit in somewhere, but it's not a, unless you find other romance, unless you're under a publishing house with like-minded authors, there's a lot of post and go anyways, which is kind of hard in the romance industry, but here, let us help you. There's none of that. So I started, I don't know how you just fit in, but you end up erotica. And then I started searching the tag and you're right. The erotica, even the adult entertainment industry has, and my background is pretty puritanical. I'd never had any kind of exposure to people who worked in the adult industry. And they were so kind and so generous and so willing to retweet and support and answer questions where they could and engage where they could. It was such a, you're right, it's such a different day and night kind of scenario. I would love for Courtney to hear that. That's never going to happen. But, you know, for her to, for other people, we're all inclusive. No, you're not. You're not any more inclusive.
I love to say this. There will always be a tribe that will follow after a certain specific charismatic, powerful voice. Courtney is Courtney. So Courtney has a vast following. She's a force unto her own.
She so is. And that's not a bad thing.
The interesting thing is Lisa Claypass does not. I mean, she would technically be a force to equal Courtney on Twitter, but she has almost no social media that I've ever seen, which I understand. She's primarily an author. She wants to stay in her bubble, and I'm very sure that inside that bubble, she weaves amazing tales. But with the likes of Helen Wan, with Sarah McLean, with all these other romance authors, they put out on Twitter and they're a very powerful force of their own. And they all have their own tribes, their own followers, varying sizes based on, you know, demographics, based on how popular, based on how recognizable their names are. But realistically, Romancelandia gets to be very cliquish. Meanwhile, the erotica and the adult entertainment industry also have their cliques per se, but again, forces of personality. So it's really, you find certain ones who kind of just click with you. And then as time wears on, you become, you know, this is the tribe. This is your corner of the Twitter, and we'll interact in between one another. But trying to cross over and actually get support from each other, that is always the big question, which is why I find the erotic authors and the adult film industry performers, they will freely talk back and forth between one another, arrange all of these little things between one another.
And there's a lot more willingness to network and support.
Yeah,
and,
there's more willingness to work within the boundaries. There's more willingness to open up and not judge one another for kinks or for their particular, you know, little niche. And it's to me, I'm an old-fashioned conservative, you know, I'm an old-fashioned conservative man. I was raised in a Protestant family. I'm kind of like breaking into this with the mindset of showing the more liberal, progressive, the more modern era of women and just people in general. I'm trying to say, hey, you know, us conservatives, we have passion too, and we can write, and we do want to feel romance. So I'm basically, my, you could say my tag is, you know, men love romance too. So
that's a good tag. I'm always surprised at how many men have read my book. It may just be a handful, but that's more than enough for me.
Well, and that's another thing. Men love it. And this was another thing that I read from a Medium article. It was about a month ago, saying men watch porn, women read erotica.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
men
went,
read erotica too, though.
And that was what my thing. I was like, wait. I have Cullen Wrights. I have Shay Sands. I have Alexa Summers. I have all of these people that I've been following for months now, and every single one of them has a very small but very vocal male subset of, you know, guys who. And some of the, you know, yes, some of them are Twitter crushing. Some of them really want to meet the girl. But the other side of them are just really their fans, and they love what they produce. And you're just like, okay, so this is not actually, it's not as black and white as everybody wants it to believe. And I'm just kind of going, hey, knock, knock, you know, this is actually a thing, folks. So the more I kind of break through that and I get to interact with you, Becca, and the rest, it makes it so much more fun for me. And it also, it widens my perspective, and it gives me a chance to enjoy the process of being a published author.
Which is a fun process, which can be a fun process. I probably should be more like Lisa and stay off the Twitter.
Hello,
I'm trying. I'm getting
I'm
better.
So sorry. Tom Renard just entered the live studio. I apologize. How long have you been there?
Oh, he just came in. He's just popping in.
Hello, Tom. I'm Brandon Farrow.
Now you made me lose my track. What was I saying? Oh.
Sorry.
No.
Oh, you just woke up? Well, good morning to you, Tom.
Yeah,
no, we were talking about...
Twitter. Anyway, so we got off Twitter. Now I want you to, we've been on air for almost 45 minutes. So Tom, we're probably going to log off here pretty quick, but, I do want to hear about the book that you have out. I'm going to host a slumber party on Facebook, and I'm so excited to be able to read part of it and then have my friend Johnny read part two, so part from your book. So why don't you tell me about the book that you have now available on Amazon?
The book that I have on Amazon currently is titled A Glorious Enemy. It is a historical romance taking place during the War of 1812. Being a history buff, one of my biggest things is to teach history, but also to tell a good story. So in this case, I'm starting off at the beginning, giving some background to these characters, and I'm starting a saga. So to forewarn everybody, for those who might listen, this is not a happily ever after immediately. This is not a one book and done.
You know that we love our happily ever afters, right?
I put in an author's note at the end, and I explained very, very succinctly what I had in mind. But it's basically an American privateer running afoul of a fiery Englishwoman after the U.S. declares war on the British Empire, which is the log line. The female MC is Constance Pickmore, Constance Eliza Pickmore. And the male MC is Griffin Anderson. These two basically meet up, and one of the Twitter questions that came out of hashtag writing community was, you know, how does your MCs meet? And I said, she shoots him.
She
shoots him. That's how they meet. He boards her ship in the middle of, you know, her traversing to the Bahamas, and she shoots him. So that's his first glimpse of this woman. So he's just kind of going, woman, you just shot me. So he's like, wait, what the hell? What are you doing over here? So that's, and as time goes on, you'll, if you want, you can read it. It's going to be on sale. And I said that I was only going to do it for the first month, but I'm probably going to extend it out since y'all are doing this beautiful thing, reading from my book. I decided I would extend the sale. It'll stay up for $2.99 on Amazon KDP. I've been getting people asking me questions for paperback. So I'm looking into Create Space. And if I do decide to go down the formatting and getting all of that correct, then I will also include a paperback copy, although I cannot give it for a sale of like $2.99. That's no, that's not going
to
happen.
They're too expensive to.
Yeah, no, this is 166,000 word saga. It's 515 pages on Kindle alone. In paperback form, it'll be a very thick little book for you. But hopefully you enjoy the journey when you do. And I am working on the sequel, A Glorious Foe. I have approximately five that I have planned out. And it goes A Glorious Enemy, A Glorious Foe, and then A Glorious Rival. There are two more that are going to come after. I'm still deciding which ones they're going to be. I'm pretty sure the last one will probably be A Glorious Nemesis, because that is like, that's perfect for me. But it's basically the Glorious series. And it, aside from that, I'm also working on Whisper Flashpoint for all my science fiction guys who have been following me for years and years and years. God bless you. And all the ladies who have been helping me too. God bless you. Because I do have a small cavalcade of women who love science fiction, and they've been very supportive of me there.
What is your science fiction based in? What is your science fiction based in?
I don't think you know Gundam. You might know Transformers.
Oh, I know Gundam.
Oh, yeah, you know Gundam.
I don't know it well, but I have three boys, so I know Gundam. I know what it is.
You have three boys. This is perfect. Yeah. Tell them that I have a Gundam knockoff for them. Well, no, it's not Gundam. It's not a knockoff. It's Star Wars meets Gundam. I basically took the 27th century, and there's no aliens. It's all human beings, but we've terraformed the universe. We're spreading out. We're making, you know, great advances in science, and we're able to traverse the stars at faster than light speeds. But, well, we're human. You know how that goes. So it's going to be, it's Flashpoint is going to be the first like step off point where these seven dominions that have been holding, you'll probably like this little tidbit because it's biblical. It's divided between powers and dominions. The powers are individual nations or mega corporations that own vast swaths of planets, solar systems, and then over them is the dominions. So the dominions are the ones that run most of the star fleets, the actual military that defends and offends when they need to. And this particular book is going to show when the dominion of PAC NATO starts to fall apart.
Wow. Well, cool. So, and gosh, you must do, you're not a pantser, are you? You're organized and everything, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Are you pantser too? Do a lot of research? I mean, is that just incorporated? Is your research in your writing? I mean, how do you bring the two together? Like for, even in the your science fiction, there's a fan base there. There's a knowledge system that you're not just pulling things out of. You know, you're drawing from things. So do you do, how does your research work? What does that look like?
It's hard for me to say. This is like, I Googled history for the War of 1812. I learned about numerous points of sale. I learned about cannons and carronades. I learned about muskets, flintlocks. I learned about Forsyth, who actually created the very first percussion cap firearm. I learned enormous amounts, and I do the same thing with science fiction. I study the stars. I study blue giants, super giant blue supergiants. super red giants. I study all manner and forms of the stars, the makeup, the impact velocities that can occur with even a very tiny speck of metal in space. I mean, if it's a fascinating thing, but it's almost the same concept as a bullet. If you are sailing at, say, 2,000 meters a second in the vastness of space, which is basically you're going beyond the speed of sound, you will not feel it. But if another object is traveling, say, 1,000 meters a second in the exact same opposite direction, then you are colliding at 3,000 meters a second. That is terrible for you. So I had to learn all of these various little physics things, which is another reason why I follow Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think that man is one of the best minds for showing science that we can have today. I also appreciate that he doesn't step on religion or faith. He's very agnostic about it. He just basically says, you know what? Here is the wonder of our universe. And I love that about studying the universe as I feel it was created. So I get to study it, and then I incorporate that into my book, and I write about it, and I start to go, okay, I have a myriad list of problems that I have to at least either explain away, or I have to be able to circumvent. And in this case, I've used, certain magic, you can call them magic technologies, super materials and various power sources that currently are not available to the human race. But if they were to become available, for example, I don't have antimatter generators like Star Trek, which would be a phenomenal technological advancement. The problem is that containing all of that energy and somehow turning it into a usable force. Am I boring you yet?
No, keep going. Okay. I'm processing. I'm listening. It's interesting. it's more hard sci-fi than soft sci-fi. Is that what you're telling me?
I try to make it middling sci-fi if I were to put it as anything, because
that makes sense.
Yeah, because I can't do the thing about hard sci-fi. You put so much science into the fiction that the fiction reader suddenly kind of just goes, I don't want to read anymore. So instead, I explain certain physics and certain points at certain areas in the book, but I don't overtell what's going on. Instead, I focus on the people, what their emotions are when they're doing it. And then I'll give a little background as to what, the machine is doing, how it was built or how it was designed. And then I'll go back to the story and I'll just keep driving the story forward. Whisper Flashpoint probably has far more characters in it than A Glorious Enemy. A Glorious Enemy, I have my MCs, I have their besties. For Constance Pickmore, that's Sophia Pyle and the Pyle and Martin sisters, who are named the Jewels of Plymouth. On the Whisper Flashpoint, I have an 18-man spec ops team.
What do you think about Whisper that appeals more to your veteran friends? Is it just because it's Gundam, or is it and Star Trek? And
I think it's that, but it's also Mud and Lasers. I have experience. I was a tanker. I was in Operation Iraqi Freedom for three tours for 3 years. So I've lived it. I've seen the Spec Ops boys when they're doing their operations. I don't know. I know you've got a friend, Johnny Jackhammer, who was Navy. And if he and I were to talk, we'd probably have a hoot, because he's a squid and I'm a mule. it's a nickname we give each other. There's devil dogs who are Marines, armies are mules. The Air Force, we call them chair force, but they get away with eagles because they're the flyboys. And then there's the Navy, we call them squids, or the SEALs are named frogs. And for us, with my fellow veterans, I sell off on Whisper because, I know how reacting to contact, reacting to combat. I know how it feels, you know, when you come home and people kind of look at you sideways and they're not really sure how to deal with you. They're kind of like, are you safe?
Yeah, that's a different, that's a different story. But that would be interesting to talk about, actually, writing, that would be something I would have questions about as a woman writing men about, you know, men, the male mindset, some of that soldier mindset, and just understanding it better rather than assuming, you know, but that's another,
Tom, I'm amazed that you know Gundam.
That's another subject altogether. We have been on an hour, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go. You'll have to just come on again and talk some more. I'm glad you came on to talk. I love finding out that you read so many, that you have read some of my favorite authors. That's like mind blowing. It's like, oh, girlfriend. Wait, no.
No, okay. Boyfriend.
No, not that either. But yeah, no, that's fun. That's kind of cool. And I can see it in your writing. I can definitely see it. You know, your historical reads like a historical so far. I haven't read enough to see if you've got, you know, I don't imagine you would. Why would you put the feminism in the historical? Because you're not, you know. We're not going to talk about it. It's been an hour. You'll have to come back. So
I guess I just will.
I'm just going to tease you and torment you. That. Yeah, what else would I ask? Did you put, anyways, thank you so much for coming on Late Night. Thank you guys for listening. Tom, it's nice to see you. I hope you have a great evening, Brandon, and I will talk to you soon.
I look forward to it. And in that case, like I said, follow me on Twitter, and we'll have to do this next week.
Yes, next week. Maybe.
This has been.
You're welcome. This has been Isabel and Writes. What is the name of my show? It's not Grown Up Story Time, Adult Stories something. Boy, that sounds like porn. Well, there you go. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I want to remind you that your story is important. Your story is powerful. Your story has meaning. And whether it's well-crafted or to sell or not, it still has meaning because it builds empathy. It builds communication. It builds your point of view. And that is important for people so that we can come together and get to know each other. So I hope you have a very great evening and a great day. I'll just repost this. What is today? It's September something. I don't know. No, I don't have an alcohol problem, actually. Thank you for asking. Thank you guys so much. Be blessed. Bye-bye.